Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for the confession of forgiveness found on page 95 and following, and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Page 95. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. And walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise with the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise found on page 138 and following in the front of the hymnal. Page 138, please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise is hymn number 858, We sing verses 1 and 4 only at this time. Hymn 858, verses 1 and 4 only. The prayer of the day, as it's found on the first page of your bulletin, or the worship and prayer, or the readings and prayers bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison, as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair, deliver us from fear, and preserve us in faith and trust. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 18. At Mount Horeb, the Mount of God, the prophet Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophet with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is going to pass by." Now that was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sure silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking to take my life." The Lord said to him, "Go return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael the king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm this morning is Psalm 85, verses 8 through 13, and we'll read it responsively. "Let me hear what the Lord God will speak.
For you will speak peace to your people, to your faithful people, to those who turn to the Lord in their hearts.
Surely your salvation is at hand for those who fear you.
That your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet.
Righteousness and peace will kiss each other.
Faithfulness will spring up from the ground.
And righteousness will look down from the sky.
The Lord will give what is good.
And our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before the Lord.
And will prepare for God a pathway."
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jewish and Greek, The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately following the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray concerning the death and beheading of John the Baptist. When evening came, Jesus was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came, walking towards them on the lake, the Sea of Galilee. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, the Sea of Galilee, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when Peter noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. Last week we talked about the most famous miracle in Scripture, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, or I'm one of the theologians say 30,000 people, because they were just counting men. I count women and children too. So the feeding of the 30,000 people. It's found in all four Gospels, and that's important, because for the early church, what this was a reminder of what we do each Sunday now, when we are fed. Matthew's congregation are good Hebrew people, good Jewish people, and they're to remember the story about the manna in the wilderness, right? And so when Jesus feeds the people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, they're to remember that bread from heaven that came down in the wilderness as they were wandering for 40 years and fed them and nourished them. We, along with Matthew's congregation, are to remember the bread of life. Not the bread of heaven, manna, that whore-like frost or that soda cracker, that saltine, but the bread of life, Jesus' own body and blood. And so all four Gospels have the story of the feeding of the 5,000 because the early church was to remember who the bread of life, the bread of heaven, pun intended, really is. It's not a soda cracker. It's Jesus the Christ. I think it's important in Matthew's Gospel, and we talked about this last week also, Jesus learns of the death and beheading, gruesome, of his cousin John the Baptist. And he goes in a boat to be in a deserted place by himself. And when he comes back from praying and being by himself, the crowds are there. And the miracle is not the feeding of 25, 30,000 people with five French loaves of bread and two salmon, Alaskan, Chinook. The miracle is that in his compassion and mercy, he ministered to them. He cured the sick. And he had them sit down because it got to be supper time. He said, we'll feed them. Okay, and you heard that whole story last week. But I think it's important to remember that it was the funeral dinner of John the Baptist. That was my insight after 41 years of studying this. The feeding of the 5,000 was the funeral dinner for John the Baptist. And like all good funeral dinners, there was plenty. 12 baskets of leftovers, right, for the family to take, or for the 12 disciples to take with them. Then comes this part of Matthew chapter 14. Go home and read all of chapter 14. It's not that long, but it's a trilogy, okay? First, the death of John, then the feeding of the 5,000, and then we've got today's lesson, which we'll talk about. Immediately following the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat that he had been in, and go ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. Okay, so you with me? And after Jesus had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray concerning the death and beheading of John the Baptist. He didn't get enough prayer and solitude. He didn't get enough alone time in his grief. So after he did this miracle of compassion and mercy, he then goes up the mountain to be with God all night long. He pulls an all-nighter. College students, yes. I did that 2 weeks ago, taking Laverne to the airport. Yeah, ask her about it. I pulled an all-nighter. First time in 30-some years, I'm not a college student anymore. Oh my, I came home, fell into the bed at 6 o'clock and didn't wake up for 6 hours. But we got her to the airport, we got her to California to visit her family, it was great. But my first all-nighter in 30 years, I'll never do it again. Only for you and for your God, Laverne, but no. All-nighters, forget it. But I use it if I fall asleep. That's why I don't take naps. If I fall asleep, I'll never wake up. I have 2 alarm clocks for Sunday morning because I'm scared to death, and it's never happened yet, knock on wood, that I won't wake up on Sunday morning like I don't wake up on Monday morning or Saturday morning, right? Anyhow, so he pulls an all-nighter. The miracle here, which follows, and we'll get into that, is not the calming of the sea. Bulletin cover. I'm so proud of that bulletin cover. You take that home, you hang it with a piece of scotch tape on your refrigerator, and you think of me all night. That's an iconic Oregon Coast picture. My sister subscribed me to a magazine now called OC Waves, and I love it. But that bulletin cover is so cool. It's a real picture. It's not CGI'd or it's not Photoshopped. It's a real photograph, and in the back of the insert, I tell you who, the name of the ship is Victory, and it's the Oregon Coast Guard, and all that kind of stuff. It's in Newport, guys. Yeah, Oregon people, Newport. Anyhow, the miracle here is not the calming of the sea, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but the calming of the sea is supposed to remind you and the Hebrew people, the Jewish people in Matthew's congregation, about how they were delivered from the Red Sea. Remember the Red Sea story? How they ran from Egypt and they get up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his armies are following them to bring them back to be slaves again? Because Pharaoh's like, I made a mistake. I let them go. Shouldn't have done that, even after 10 plagues. And so they go to and hit the Red Sea and the Red Sea is parted and they're able to walk on dry land. The Hebrews and Jewish people in Matthew's congregation are supposed to remember that, okay? The parting of the Red Sea and how Moses had power over nature. Some people call it a low tide. You know, Cecil B. DeMille and the Ten Commandments, you remember, they're 80 feet walls of water. I loved that as a kid. It was like, how cool is that? On the back of last month's newsletter, there was a cartoon about the parting of the Red Sea. Ask me about it in coffee hour. Jesus' power over chaos is what we're talking about here. and the vastness of the sea, and how he's able to deliver the disciples and delivers us. Think of the waters of chaos. That's what we sang about in the first hymn, the waters of chaos at creation. The universe was formless and void, and there were waters, chaos everywhere. And God said, he spoke creation into being, from light to land and sea and animals and you and me. You're to think of how Jesus has power over chaos like God. How Jesus has powers over the waters of creation. Jesus has powers over the flood. Think Noah and Mrs. Noah, right? It's Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit who saves these people from the flood of the world. Jesus has power over the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies. Jesus has power over the River Jordan, which you're going to sing about in just a few minutes. You're supposed to remember all those stories of the Bible as Jesus is on this chaotic sea. Jewish people, the Hebrew slaves, are nomads. They're desert people, southeastern Idaho people. Okay, we've got the reservoir, yes, and the Snake River and the Portneuf River and all those rivers, right? But they were desert people. Jewish people, the worst thing to happen, think Jonah and the whale. The worst thing, the worst death for a Jewish person was to drown. They were scared to death of the ocean. Look at the bulletin cover. They were scared to death of the ocean. Whether it was the Sea of Galilee or the Pacific or the Atlantic or the Mediterranean, whatever ocean it might be. The worst thing as a Jewish person or a Hebrew slave would to be put into the ocean. That's important as we get into this. The gospel goes, when evening came, Jesus was there alone. Okay, he went to be by himself after 30,000 people. You know, he wanted to be by himself. He was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far off the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, okay, it wasn't the middle of the night. He waited till morning, the sunrise. Early in the morning, Jesus came walking towards them on the lake, the Sea of Galilee. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. That's important. Remember that. When they saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I, do not be afraid." Okay, we're gonna work backwards here. Do not be afraid. You've heard that before from me, from this pulpit, right? All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, angels and messengers of God would say, do not be afraid. Jesus says it over and over again in the gospel. Do not be afraid. But what he says is, it is I. Now that's important. Because in the Greek, it is I is the same as in the Hebrew, I am. And if you remember your Old Testament Bible, when Moses saw the burning bush and God called him to lead the people out of slavery in Egypt, Moses said, well, who do I say you are? We call you Jehovah, Elohim, El Shaddai, all these different names. But what is your name, God? And what does God answer him? He says, I am. I am who I am. And that's the high holy name that we aren't allowed to say out loud. And that's why the Hebrew Jewish people still to this day, they spell it without vowels. It's YHWH, Yahweh. But if you have no vowels in a word, we ask Pat Chase, it's not a word. You can't play it in Scrabble or a crossword puzzle. And so to this day, whenever you see capital L-O-R-D, that's God's name, I am. So Jesus here is saying, take heart. Look, behold, I am. Don't be afraid. He's proclaiming who he is as God. I am God. Don't be afraid of chaos and of the wind. But that's not what they were terrified from, right? You remember what I just said? They're not terrified because of the wind and the storm and the waves. They're good fishermen. They've been there before. They've been in this situation before. They're sailors even. Okay? Like my grandfather was in the Navy. Why are they scared to death? Because they see Jesus walking on the water. And they think he's a ghost from another realm from heaven.
The fishermen and the sailors were not afraid because of the storm, the waves, and the chaos. They were afraid because of the presence of God in their midst. And if they had a question of who Jesus was, is Jesus of Nazareth, he tells them, "Behold, take heart, I am. I was there at creation. I was there at the Red Sea. I was there at the River Jordan when they crossed over to the Promised Land." Remember that, you can sing about it in a minute. I am. Do not be afraid at the presence of God. But that's why they were scared to death and terrified, because God was in their midst. God should be in the temple, the Holy of Holies. Some of you are old enough to remember when no one was allowed to come up to the altar. Just the pastor, just the acolytes. No reading minister, no communion assistants. When I was a pastor in 1986 in Montana, good German Lutherans, I was the only one allowed up the steps. I read all the lessons. I lit all the candles, like I did today. Poor Charlie's not here. I lit all the candles. I read all the lessons. I distributed the bread. 18-foot altar railing, no gate. I went down the whole thing with the paten of bread. I went down the whole thing with the wine. I went down the whole thing the third time with the empty tray to pick up the glasses. I got my Jane Fonda aerobics during worship on Sunday morning, running circles, right? And I tried for 9 years. I said, we should have readers. We should have athletes. No, pastor, that's your job. That's what we pay you for. And I get it. But it was from part of that thing of God is up there. No one should be allowed up there, men, women, and children. Just the pastor and the priest. God should be in the Holy of Holies at the temple in Jerusalem. He should be walking on the water in the Sea of Galilee. I am. The presence of God is with you. And they were scared to death. And then in Matthew's gospel, I love this. This is the only place in the Bible we find this story. The conversation between Peter and Jesus isn't found in three gospels have the walking in water. Okay? John, Mark, and Matthew. Luke doesn't. But only one gospel has this conversation. Listen again. They saw him walking on the water. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, behold, I am. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him. You gotta love Peter. He's got chutzpah, right? Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." He invites him. So Peter got out of the boat, much more faithful than I am. Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. You should be amazed. But when Peter noticed the strong wind and the waves and the storm, he became frightened and began to sink. Peter cried out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter, saying to him, "You of little faith or little trust, why do you doubt?" Because he was doing it. I mean, that's the amazing thing. I thought, Peter, don't pay attention to what's going on because you were walking on the water. How cool is that? "Why do you doubt?" Jesus says. When they got into the boat and the wind ceased, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, okay? That's important to remember. And said to him, "You have little trust and doubt. Why do you doubt and not trust?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The storm was calm. And those in the boat, the disciples, worshipped Jesus. No longer is he just Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus the son of Joseph. He is the I am. He is the I am. And not because he calmed the sea. Listen. And they said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The great confession. You see what's going on here? The moment of realization as to who Jesus is the miracle. Of course Jesus can calm the sea if he wants to. He's the Lord of creation. He was there at the flood. He was there at creation. He was there at the River Jordan. He was there with Mr. and Mrs. Noah. The realization of who Jesus is the light bulb moment. That's the miracle. They finally get it, the disciples. He feeds 30,000 people, and they still don't know who he is. He tells them, I am. Don't be afraid. They still don't know who he is. But he gets in the boat, and then the light bulb goes off, and they worship him. Truly, you are the Son of God. The miracle here is not the calming the sea. The miracle is Jesus reaching out his hand and saving Peter. Even in his doubt and mistrust. Walking on water itself does not show or prove who Jesus is. What shows or proves who Jesus is his word and his saving action. The fact that he reached out and saved Peter. And he does it more than once. You know the scriptures, right? He calls Peter Satan in the Gospels. But he still saves Peter. What shows or proves who Jesus is his word and his saving action. Forget feeding 30,000 people. Forget calming the sea. Forget walking on water. Anybody can walk on water. You just need ice skates. You know? Yeah. It's an old joke, but it really works. Anybody can walk on water. Even Peter in a storm. But the miracle is that Jesus saves him even in spite of himself. The miracle is that Jesus saves you even in your distrust and your lack of faith or your storms that rage about you. What are the storms that were a part of your life this past week? And did you see the great I am in the midst of them? Did you trust that God was with you? God cares for you. God loves you at the Red Sea when you're being chased by Pharaoh and his armies and chariots. God loves you even in spite of the flood that took everything except for Noah and the 8 righteous people. God loves you that he created all of creation and said, you have stewardship and dominion over this garden. That's the miracle, folks. The miracle is that Jesus saves us even in spite of ourselves. Jesus reaches out his hands in the storms of life and in our chaos, and in our distrust, and says, I love you anyway. Let's get in the boat. And then the early church said, well, of course the boat is the church. You know, that's where we worship Jesus. And so they got back in the boat, and that's an old, since, you know, 2,000 years ago, idea of what the church is. That's why it looks like this, upside down arc, right? Neo-German Gothic, they call it. But these are the ribs of the boat. We're in the ark right now. And of course, God is with us at the altar. God is with us in the ark. God brings us the bread of life and feeds us and nourishes us as if we were 30,000 people strong. I wouldn't know what to do with 25 or 30,000 people on a Sunday morning. I just want you guys. That's it. Yeah, you're enough. Do you see what's going on here? Matthew is such a good theologian as he tells the story. Because he's the only one that tells the story about Peter and Jesus' conversation about the miracle being told in this way. When they got into the boat, Jesus and Peter, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, truly you are, I am, the Son of God. The cross is what shows us once and for all who Jesus is. That's why we walk into worship to the cross and we walk out of worship into the world following the cross. That's why the cross is still central over my dead body. Will that ever be moved? I thought about putting Jesus up there. The old Jesus from Martin Luther Church and see if you would ever notice. Take down the cross and put Jesus up there and say, something's different here. Because I like Jesus. The church I was baptized in and born in had the same exact Jesus statue in that church. But there's a reason the cross is central to us, because it's at the cross that God shows us once and for all who Jesus is. The miracle of his saving act, the miracle of his sacrifice to show us how much God loves us. Anyone can walk on water, even Peter. All you need are ice skates. Amen. Okay. Fool me and come up to the organ like you're going to do something. I was going to have 2 songs. There are 2 songs in your worship bulletin. I'm going to stay up here because you can hear me better. Row, row, row your boat. We were going to sing it around, but we don't have enough people to do that. And I'm not going to, we'll put all of our money and all of our eggs into the basket of Michael Row the Boat Show. On the back of the
Readings and prayers insert is the hymn of the day. Look at the bulletin cover and read the little fine print. I won't go over that now. You can read about that, Peter Seeger and the African-American slaves and that. But in old Greek theology, the river Styx, and I was going to look that up. I think the 1970s rock band called Styx was named after that. But the river Styx was the river that you crossed to go to the land of the dead. And there was a ferryman, okay, that would take you over the river Styx to the land of the dead in Greek mythology. In Christian theology, we talk about how we are taken over the Jordan River to the promised land. And the African-American slaves understood that totally. They totally understood the freedom and the life and the joy that would be found across the river in the promised land. Now, wherever that might be, Oregon, you know, if you lived in South Carolina, you go across the Mississippi all the way and across the Columbia to Oregon or something. I don't know. But Michael, and it says it in the fine print there, take it home, don't recycle it, take it home, I'm going to watch you not throw it away in the garbage can. Michael is that archangel who is thought of as taking the souls to God. Okay? The hymn that we are going to sing a cappella, you fooled me by going to the bench. I will lead it, you will follow along. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. You'll know it by the seventh verse. I use both Pete Seeger's words from the 1960s. Harry Belafonte sang it too. Read about it. It's all right there. But I also use the old African-American stuff. So if you think you know this hymn, don't sing it without looking at the words. Because the words are really important here. Because where we are being taken is across the Jordan River to the promised land. Okay, whether it's at our death or in our life, and you'll get it. So, seven verses, we will see where we go. Okay. Michael, row the boat ashore, hallelujah. Michael's boat, a gospel boat, hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sail, hallelujah. Sister Mary, trim the sail, hallelujah. River Jordan is chilly and cold, hallelujah. Chills the body but not the soul, hallelujah. River Jordan is deep and wide, hallelujah. Milk and honey on the other side, hallelujah. Michael, haul that boat ashore, hallelujah. Brother, lend a helping hand, hallelujah. Gabriel blows the trumpet horn, hallelujah. Trumpets sound the world around, hallelujah. Trumpets sound the jubilee, hallelujah. Trumpets sound for you and me, hallelujah. Oh, I wish Edith was here. You're all part of the choir this fall. Okay, good job. You'll be humming that song, even you, Mackenzie, as you go to college this week. You'll be humming that song. I know how much you love to sing, but you got your holy pants on. You'll be humming that song, Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Dozens and dozens. I researched all the history that's there. Take it home, read it. I worked hard on that for like 4 hours. I went down the rabbit Google hole. And dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of verses. Harry Belafonte in 1962, I think I put in here, rewrote all the verses. And it all had to do with the civil rights. And you can find that on the Google machine if you go. But dozens and dozens and dozens of verses. These are the ones that I chose. Thank you, okay? Someday we'll do row, row, row your boat and around, but I decided not to do that today. She was even ready to help me. That was a good thing. Yeah. I invite you to rise for the prayers of the church and for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal. We confess our faith in these same words, the Apostles' Creed, and then the prayers of the church. God has made us the people of God through our baptism. Floodwaters again, right? Through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust, walking on water, and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the prayers of the church this day, remember in our prayers in the church, our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove. We pray this whole month of August for the St. John Scholarship Fund, which many of our own students in universities, colleges, and vo-tech schools have applied for. And we pray for all those students. We had two this weekend. We got one next weekend. I'm looking at you, young lady, who are leaving for college and university and vo-tech schools. We pray for all those people in our prayers. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine. The war in Sudan is ramping up. We pray for people who have lost property and lives. The number is now 93, but they're still missing 1,000 people in Lahaina, Hawaii, and the island of Maui. So we remember them. Wednesday, I was listening to PBS at midnight, and they had something on there. I thought, what? Well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then our news programs got on board. And so we remember the people in Hawaii at the wildfire and the life and property lost there. They're saying 2.5 billion with a B, like boy, dollars have been lost because of homes. 70% of the buildings that are down, something like 3,700 buildings, 70% of them were homes and houses. And then there were all of, along the seaboard, all of the tourist trap stuff. Well, I was there a long time ago. Don't remember a thing of it. And then we pray for all those who have been sick or hospitalized in any way this past week. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God of grace, trust, and faith, your faithfulness is never ending, and your righteousness becomes ours through Jesus the Christ. Send your church out to proclaim and share the gospel, the good news, both near and far. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You cherish your creation, from the deepest seas to the biggest whales. Protect fragile ecosystems like coral reefs. Send favorable weather. Supply food and water to nourish creatures, great and small. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the fields. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires, especially lifting up Hawaii this day. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Instill in all political leaders your desire. Support the work of international peace organizations and provide relief for those in war-torn areas, like the Ukraine and Sudan. Promote peace across the world and in our towns and in our neighborhoods. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all those who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Show your steadfast love, grace, and mercy. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. And give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all of the ministries we are a part of. We pray for all students of colleges, universities, and vo-tech schools. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those we name before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church. Today in the church year, it is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Kathleen Wagner. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, the little green flower vase liners for the altar vases are missing. Two of them are missing. If you happen to have taken flowers home in them and you still have them, please bring them back. If you took flowers in home in them and you threw them away, just let me know, okay, so that we can get some more for those. Also, tomorrow morning, Pastor's getting new carpet in his office because the carpet's really gross in there and I can't get it clean. And so I could use some help this evening, mostly removing furniture from that office so that it can be ready for in the morning. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections to the ones found there? No one's up here. I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all of them to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymnal. Page 146.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy.
Thank you.
with the blessing, the post-communicantical hymn number 208, and the prayer, the blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Praise to you, O God of mercy.
To the world, and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Recessional hymn is hymn number 733, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Listen carefully to the words. It was chosen especially for today. Hymn 733, Great is Thy Faithfulness.